John Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 148 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, December the 11th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about overtime Ovechkin. In the studio with me, as always, is Kenny.
What up?
And Mr. Jive.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm your super beast. Hey, yeah.
Hey, oh, yeah.
I'm your super
hey,
beast.
Hey, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I was trying to go with the hey. I knew one of you was going to say hey.
That was so 20 years ago.
It was.
Right. Classic rock.
It could be oldies.
Yes. It's oldies.
It's oldies.
It is the Boston of our generation.
Oh, man. So what's the Boston of our Boston? Like, what is Boston to our Boston generation?
Limp Bizkit, probably.
Oh man, what you went there?
Yeah, but it probably is. I mean, let's be honest.
Did it all for the nookie.
I need a shower now, I think.
I think I just need to get away.
The cookie?
The cookie.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, worst intro ever in Three in the Box history, right here.
With multiple references of Limp Bizkit.
You've got a what?
Did you guys all heard the history of
If I could
Limp
take a
Bizkit.
Picture, if you would just remember.
Oh, God, that's...
Filter? Come on.
Yeah. When did Filter become pussies? That song?
Hey, man, nice shot.
Well,
I could go all day here. I mean,
nice shot. Yeah,
was it?
That's what she said.
Were you just like itching to like hit that button?
Yes, you knew we were going to talk about Filter tonight.
Yes.
And Limp Bizkit.
And Limp Bizkit. Yeah, of course.
Were you going to tell us a story? It sounded like you were ready to tell us.
Well,
a story.
I was kind of curious. We do have a friend, not quite from Down Under, but from you know, he's a Kiwi. Apparently, Limp Bizkit is a term from...
I thought he was an Aussie.
No, he's just an Aussie.
I'm pretty sure people from New Zealand like being called Aussies, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I've never been.
This is the other side of the pond, right?
Now I'm thinking of Men at Work with Land Down Under.
Where are you going with those hands?
I have no idea.
Where
anymore.
Do we sleep when our beds are burning?
Wow. How can we sleep while the earth is turning?
I have no idea. We're flying around. You had a story, didn't you? We're totally derailed. Something about Limp Biscuits.
To put us back on the rails here.
Oh.
I gotta say, I'm not a big fan of winter. It's gotten cold here. Over the last week or so.
Yeah, it's Minnesota.
Things are freezing, and I see kids skating out on the ice. And that warms my heart.
It does, but is ice good enough yet?
Well, they haven't fallen through.
That's good.
They're much smaller than you or I.
Let them go out and test it first.
The canaries down the... down the sheet of ice.
Right. Yeah, sure, go on, test it out.
But honestly, I've seen a couple of families skating around, and it's like, hey, that's awesome.
All right.
And bringing Fluffy and the Fido and whatever.
They have skates on, too?
They're Scooby-Dooing it. You know?
The entire time.
Yeah.
My dog does that, like, just around the kitchen floor.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yes.
Until they end up with joint problems. You're like, oh, that's not nearly as funny now.
Then it's just in slow motion.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's kind of sad now.
Slow motion, so it's, then it's kind of just like, I can't go anywhere.
Let's get into the wild. We need to talk about the wild at some point here, right?
The what? Is that what we're here for tonight?
Yes.
Okay. That's an animal of some sort.
Yes.
What is it?
Man, bear, pig?
Man, bear, pig.
Let's talk about man, bear, pig.
Let's get into the man, bear, pig.
Yeah.
So in the last, since we were last here, the Wild had three games out on the West Coast. I think that kicked off their West Coast tour. Started off with the Kings with a loss of 5-2. Gabrick, you know, scored two against his former team that drafted him. Got his 500th goal in that time frame.
While the Wild were in town.
Yeah, that was kind of an ugly game. After that, we moved on to Anaheim and played the Ducks, Bruce Boudreau's former team.
Ducks and Fowler.
I honestly, I kind of want to buy a Fowler sweater just because it's the Ducks and it's got Fowl in it.
It is seriously the best name.
Seeing you in a duck shirt would just be foul, dude.
But if it said Fowler on the back.
Without a W. With a U.
With the U.
Yes.
What if you need to clarify that.
What if it was old school and it was like District 5 style, like Mighty Ducks? Ducks.
Oh, see? Then that brings it back home, though.
Yeah. District 5.
Yeah. Where are the Mighty Ducks from?
District 5.
In Minnesota, man.
Is it South Minneapolis?
Put it,
heck yeah.
Okay, but if there was a Cam...
Parade Stadium.
If there was a Cam crazy guy playing for the Wild, that'd be the best thing ever. Because it'd be a crazy guy playing for the Wild.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Crazy Wild guy. Yeah.
Crazy Wild guy.
Cam Crazy.
I think we need more crazy people at the Wild games. We need wild people at the Wild games.
Which Wild player can we get to change their last name?
Ironically, Aaron and I know a guy whose last name is Wild.
Yeah, there's a few Wilds in the Twin Cities.
Not crazy though.
Yeah. Maybe.
You see, you need something different because it's you don't want a 1-to-1 relationship.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because it's Fowler. Ducks.
Right.
So,
right.
What would be the analog with Wild? You know,
Joe Crazy instead of Joel Erickson.
Cam Cuckoo.
Right. Joe Batshit.
You crazy?
His parents must have not liked him.
So, with that game, that was actually less entertaining than our conversation we just had. I think that was one of the most boring games of hockey I've watched in a long time.
I disagree. I've liked the West Coast sweep out here. I think they've been tight games where
it wasn't a sweep. Close.
The
swing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't make me swing my sweep at you, though.
You crazy.
Yes, I am.
You cray cray.
Yes, I am. And I'm packing.
Hey, you packing and you're cray cray?
You Joe Cuckoo.
This is wild.
So how about the rest of the Wild week? Let's get to it.
We actually ended up beating the Ducks in overtime, 3-2. Dumba got his second overtime game-winning goal in right around the week time span, I would say. Because I think the first one was the Blues on the Saturday before.
Yeah.
Then we moved up to San Jose. Wild came out strong and, you know, started to peter off a little bit throughout the game.
That's what she said.
It kind of started late in the second. Burns, another former Wild player, got two goals against his former team. Stalock stayed strong, though, and beat the team that drafted him. So
beat
I guess
his it, former team. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess in the end, he got the win.
Ah, ha, 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 shut up!
Stahl got 3 points. He got 2 goals and assist in that game. So it was a good game for him as well. So, yeah, that was kind of how everything happened the past week. So, I mean, I guess...
it's been an up-and-down experience.
It very much so, because a couple of those... I mean, the
Kings game was really bad, because they got such a great start.
They had a good start in that game.
And then...
That's actually kind of seemed how it went. Well, it started off that way, I think, with Ducks. I think they started off very poorly. They still came out ahead early.
Well, the Sharks game was... I was worried it was going to be another repeat of the Kings game, right. Where it's like... And especially as the third period came on, and it was like, oh, okay, they're catching up here. Okay. Now I'm starting to get worried now.
All season long, they've been strong finishers in the third period. But, yeah, I agree. With this West Coast trip here, it seems that, like, the complete opposite is happening. They're coming out of the gates. They're playing well. And then as the game goes on, they're just kind of... And maybe it attributes to, like, the, you know, the little bit... I mean, for them, it's going to be a little bit later start. They inhaling
too much smoke from the L.A. fires right now?
Could have been a little smoke inhalation. You never know.
I gotta say I've been pretty impressed with Murphy. He had a power play goal last night.
Yeah. Murphy stepped up a little bit.
From a guy who seemed like a junk heap, like, pickup. Like, okay, we're getting him. Former first rounder, big deal. You know, I got to credit Boudreau for giving him a shot on the power play.
Yeah. He's done good.
He's shown that he's got capability.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe this will turn into a longer term thing where we're picking really a diamond out of the rough. You know.
Well, I really think that Boudreau has obviously already kind of seen that too.
Yeah.
I think I remember some of his comments after like a game up. Where, like, his Boudreau said, you know, I really like what I'm seeing from this guy. So
he did not start off the season with the Wild.
No.
up top. Correct?
Correct.
He got pushed back through waivers and cleared waivers. So other teams could have had him.
Yep.
You know, so maybe to that degree, we didn't even see what he was capable of.
True.
And to be honest, maybe he's not capable of anything, and he just
had a few good games,
right? You know,
we've seen that before too.
But he had a good string in the juniors, so it's like he's got some pedigree there.
Yeah,
I mean the thing against him is that he's a smaller defenseman, you know, but we've seen good smaller defensemen. We've got a couple of them, you know. Where
yes, we do.
So, speaking of defensemen, I mean, I Russo had said something about, I mean, Burns came out just hot during that Sharks game against the Wild and just, you know, putting up shots right off the bat and playing strong. And, I mean, I replied to that tweet saying, you know, I think Burns was the worst mistake that the Wild had let go or traded away. I mean, I personally am a very big fan of Burns, and I like what he did with the Wild organization, and I like what he's doing with the Sharks organization. You know, and I think that was a bigger mistake more so than, you know, not getting Gavrik back, which, I mean, Gavrik's kind of, he's had his shining moments, and I think he still had some talent. I think he still does have some talent, but I think giving up Burns was the bigger of the two losses. I mean, would you agree?
I mean,
who else would you put into that position of, you know, the worst player that the Wild has let go in franchise history?
It's hard to argue with Burns not being that player.
Especially as he's been performing now. I mean,
right. But it's, you know, hindsight is 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of us weren't very happy when he got dealt.
Well, we got what? Heatley for him?
Heatley and Coyle, basically, is what it worked out to be.
And that's right. I got to remind myself of that. Because, yeah. I mean, Coyle I'm okay with. Coyle?
Yeah. But Coyle hasn't exactly tore things up either, you know?
He hasn't torn things up, but I also don't think that he's completely hit his prime. I can tell you that Burns is, you know, he's on the top side of his career right now. So, you know, you can plan on that, you know, waning off here in the coming years. Whereas Coyle's still a young player that, you know, hopefully we can hang on to for... you know, years to come. And
look at how long.
Not Healy. Setoguchi.
Setoguchi.
That makes the trade even worse, actually, because Setoguchi flamed out because of alcoholism.
Well,
that's basically what it was.
Was that when he's back in L.A.?
Wow. If you think he went to L.A. and started drinking heavily once he got to L.A., I think you're kidding yourself.
That's what everybody does out there.
Wow. Okay.
That's that rock and roll lifestyle out there.
But you had Setoguchi, Coyle, and Zach Phillips. That is a bad trade. I don't care. I mean, Coyle, we may get many more years of Coyle, but Coyle has not proven that he's that great, actually, at this point. He hasn't. I don't think he has.
Am I wrong to say that I'm bummed about Burns with that trade?
I mean, we're not paying Burns that money. I mean, that's about the only upside I can see of it.
We wouldn't be able to pay Burns that money at this point.
I mean, that's about the only realistic justification is that we weren't going to be able to pay him, so we need to make space, so you trade him and try to get something in return that you can
work out,
you know?
We got Suter, and Suter's actually been playing. I've been pretty happy with Suter's play so far this season. However,
defensively, yeah,
we haven't seen a thing of Parisi, which was also he also came in right, you know, that same after that trade
that summer, right?
Yeah, yep. Exactly. If Burns was still around, I mean, would you see him playing top line with Suter right now, or would they be split up because they are two totally different styles of defensemen?
They would probably be paired together, maybe. I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, you can make arguments either way. I don't know where to go with that one, really, actually. But I think you can go either way, really.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right. So... to wrap up this West Coast tour, Wild got 4 out of a possible 6 points, which is pretty respectable.
I think that's pretty good for heading out west there.
So far, we've
got two teams that are, you know, riding up top in the Pacific Division out there.
To do it on the road, I think it's respectable.
That's fair. Yeah.
But we also gave up 4 points. You know, we had the loss.
Not against the division, though.
Not against our division, but against our conference.
Fair.
Okay.
It'll probably hurt us in the wild card.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you rate this? Good, bad, indifferent?
I would consider that that was probably a successful road trip. Anytime that you can go on the road and win 2 out of 3, I think that's positive.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say it was at best mediocre because
indifferent
because they had the lead in the two games they had a lead in one game they ended up losing, and they had a lead where they could have won in regulation that they didn't.
Right.
So they basically gave up points that they didn't need to give up. Had they just played more solidly defensively.
They did, but
and those are points that might end up hurting them when it comes to
bite you.
To the wild card, you know.
But when we're looking at how the team, had played in the weeks before that, I think that it's positive to see that, you know, night after night we're getting, you know, a performance that's either enough to compete or come dang close to winning, you know. We didn't go out there. We didn't get blown out by anybody 7-2.
The L.A. game is...
Well,
I wouldn't even say the L.A. game was a blowout.
It was a collapse.
It was a 5-2 loss.
In the end, but there was an empty net goal. It was a lot closer game than that, I felt. But
they get to the third period, you know, it was a collapse. Yes. That's the way I look at it. Personally, at least.
I agree. But that said, at the end of the day, I don't feel that we went out there and got blown out or, you know, outskated by any of those teams. I think that we played with everybody. In the blowouts that we were talking about before, I mean, those like the Wild didn't even look like they belonged on the ice with those teams in those games. So I think that was a tale of, you know, two different teams, basically. So I think that the team looked good out there. I'm happy that we walked away with, you know, 4 points out of that. I think that's positive. Yes, it sucks maybe that we gave up some, but I think we're moving in the right direction. So,
all right. I think that's what I got for our Wild week.
All right. On to the Wild card, I guess.
Wild card.
So,
I can't believe you actually put that in there.
So, we got a little news around the league here because I know we've got a few questions about that, and I think we ought to actually just bring it up. So, one of the big topics around the league right now is NHL is looking to expand to Seattle. I know we've talked about it over the years. There's been a few cities that have popped up.
Seattle and Houston most recently.
Seattle, Houston, Quebec City.
Yeah.
If you go back a little further, Hamilton.
Yeah, I was actually just gonna ask what was that city right by Toronto, but that would have been Hamilton.
Yeah,
everyone. Isn't that an opera?
opera, Broadway play.
Broadway show. Yes.
Apparently, very hard to get tickets to.
Yes.
Hartford, Connecticut. Every once in a while pops up as well.
I would like to see Hartford get a team back.
Get the Whale back. But according to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, Key Arena is set for a $500 million-plus renovation with eyes on the NHL. I think it's... I don't quote me on the number because I'm going off of memory, but it's somewhere like between $550 and $650 for expansion fee.
Yeah, they upped it.
They upped it compared to what Vegas paid. And
Vegas played a healthy sum.
Yes.
I mean, they basically paid a player and a half salary, I think, per team.
Right. And basically they're saying that we're not talking relocation. It's going to be expansion, bringing the league to 32 teams. So, one, Seattle, NHL, is this a good fit?
I think Seattle could fit in there.
So the same gripes we have in the South, no ice. Seattle doesn't get ice.
And when they do get ice, they close down.
Much like the South does.
Yes.
But Seattle's also just south of Vancouver.
True.
And that's where I think like the Pacific Division out there.
We could actually have a Pacific Northwest Division.
Yeah, I think that it would probably fit in well out there. The teams would travel well there. And, you know, I think that probably, you know, if we're not looking at necessarily winter environments, because, you know, the markets, I mean, it's kind of obvious now at this point. The markets are down, you know, where people want to stay, where it's not so damn cold, you know. And they've proved they can grow ice in the heat, right? Down in L.A., they had the...
Mexico City.
But that doesn't mean they can grow attendance there.
It doesn't. Those seats were empty.
Yeah.
I think that the story, though, in Seattle, though, might be a little bit different than that. It's a growing city out there.
Yeah.
There's, you know, lots of big corporations that are out there.
Amazon,
Microsoft.
Nirvana. Oh, wait, that was early 90s.
That was a little while ago.
A little way to bring it back, old man.
Yeah.
Sub Pop Records.
So, I think that they could probably do it out there.
Are they from Seattle?
Yeah.
I just saw them recently.
Jimi Hendrix. So, wait. We're going a little too far back there. Yes.
But, yeah, no, I think that they could definitely support an expansion team out there. I mean, if they can start up an expansion team in Vegas, they could probably start one almost anywhere.
Almost? Two in Florida?
They already did that.
I think Atlanta needs a team. Oh, wait.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah. Why not?
Actually, that's... to derail just a little bit. Have you guys seen the NHL uniform, like best uniform thing you can go and vote on? And they basically, remember the Hot or Not website.
Wow, that dates you instantly. You remember Hot or Not?
It's very similar.
In 20 years, people are going to be saying, do you remember Tinder?
Yeah.
Do you remember Tinder?
Yeah. So it's very similar to that. You go on.
You want to swipe right or do you want to swipe left?
You go on to it and they bring up two different teams' uniforms and you pick which one you like better. Yeah. So they had one and I think I saw it on Instagram or maybe Facebook where they had it posted up there. But they had Atlanta Thrashers and the North Stars from like 86, somewhere around there. And we got, I just looking at some of the comments on there, which never look at the comments, kids, because that'll just get you like in a frenzy of wanting to murder people.
It's basically internet AIDS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is so many people that are like,
let's be honest. You don't want to dabble in that dark art, you know?
There was enough people that said,
that's what she said.
Let's bring back we want the Thrashers back. And I really wanted the reply going, what, like twice wasn't enough that you guys couldn't handle a team? Sorry, I totally derailed that whole thing.
Yeah, you did.
So what are your thoughts on Seattle? The city we're talking about.
Seattle.
Humanga's big.
Well, they haven't tried a team yet. So I would be, they're at least above the Bible Belt.
They've got a WHL team right now.
They do.
The Thunderbirds, which I think that's another question, is what do they do with the Thunderbirds if they have an NHL team?
Who is their... What, do we have 31 AHL teams right now, or do we have
WHL, so it's not,
it's not even AHL.
Yeah. So I would assume that they're going to have to move somewhere, because it's... I mean, maybe they move to a suburb or whatever, and they're... You know,
we can't
now the Edmonds Thunderbirds or whatever.
We can't even get two hockey teams in Minnesota without them.
The Duluth Thunderbirds.
There we go.
Hey. You know, we used to have the Thunderbird Hotel out there.
Yeah.
Down by where the old Met Center used to be.
Yes, this is very true.
So you're saying the Bloomington Thunderbirds.
Yes.
Can we tear down IKEA and put it there?
Yes.
No, you don't have to tear it down. Just put it, like, get rid of some beds, push it to the side, right. Put a ball pit in the middle.
So basically,
put a meatball section in the penalty box.
So you go to the game, and it takes you an hour to get out of there because you can't find your way.
Yes.
What is kind of disappointing, though, is that, like, there's still, like, a big section of where, you know, the Met Center used to stand that is just like a big flat
parking
lot.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. It could have still.
We can make it happen again, right?
They could have connected it to IKEA and you know, I mean, could you imagine that? Go to a hockey game and IKEA in the same night?
Flat pack for days. In other news, you know, I'm just going to say we called it Russia banned from the Olympics, so we're not going to see Ovechkin in the...
not necessarily.
We're not going to see Ovechkin in the Olympics. We may see...
Oh, that's right, because he did say he would play for Russia.
Well, you're not going to get a whole... So basically, the because of rampant state-sponsored doping... All of Russia's banned from the Olympics. They can reapply under the Olympic banner, but that's an individual basis. There's no way that's going to happen for a team sport like hockey.
Oh, that'd be great, because if you saw like Russian players that get like teamed up with Jamaican players that don't have enough guys to make a hockey team.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So
the Jamaican hockey team.
So I will...
Cool Runnings 2 in the making. Look at that.
I approve.
Damn. I approve, too.
Cool Runnings Ovechkin.
Sorry, Aaron.
So, needless to say, there's not going to be any Ovechkin in the Olympics this time.
I don't think so.
Do we ever think we're going to see hockey from an NHL perspective back in the Olympics?
I do. Probably sometime in our lifetime. It might get a little bit crazy. If you
Okay, I'm going to give you over-under. Over-under 40 years.
Within 40 years?
Yes.
Yes.
I would say we're going to miss it this time. We're going to miss it next time, but there will be talks. And by the third time around, so I'm giving it 12.
So you're giving it a little more, like a close cycle kind of thing.
How old is Bettman now anyways? I mean, it's got to end sometime, right?
I don't know. He
there's going to be a Bettman Jr. somewhere around.
There's got to be one.
A tight ass who's just like, I hate this sport internationally. It's not making me any money. Right. Give me more money.
Our conversation about like, the Rolling Stones earlier, for some reason I've got this bad feeling that Bettman's on the same thing that they're on.
He's going to be like 105 and still running this shit.
And then it's going to get into Futurama times, and he's going to be running the league as a head in a jar.
Right. Speaking of Futurama, that's why I was going to point that out, actually. If you go check out, I can't remember what the name of the episode was, but there's a cool Phineas and Ferb episode. It's a cartoon, kids cartoon, Phineas and Ferb. But they play some hockey, but it's like crazy hockey. Like,
do we got a three-point line?
I believe so, but they were all, I mean, there was obstacles and stuff to go around.
Was there fire?
Yes, there was.
Okay, this might be worth watching.
It is worth watching, and that's the hockey of the future.
So speaking of fire, upcoming week.
Ah.
Oh.
Tomorrow.
Oh, nice segue.
The Wild play. The Calgary Flames.
The Flames.
Flames, emphasis on fire flames.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? Wink, wink.
Future
wink,
hockey.
Wink, nudge, nudge.
You know, future you know hockey burn, flames? Aaron, you know what burns well with flames?
What?
I don't know. What's next?
Next game is Thursday. This is not a good joke. Because everything burns well with flames.
Actually, the next three things burn well with flames.
Maybe
everything.
Everything. Maybe not lightning or water.
Is there a water
is
team?
Is there a water team? Right? I was like,
the Seattle Water. Let's go, water. I can see it, man.
I could see LA wanting to play them right about now.
Well, I mean.
What goes well with flames? Not LA.
Not LA, right.
LA does have a team called the Lakers. I mean, why can't they find enough water to put this out?
They anyway. Try to take our lakes, but yep.
Anyway, upcoming week here. Calgary Flames tomorrow. Thursday, we have the Leafs. Saturday, the Oilers, and we have a kind of a back-to-back situation. We're on the road then against the Blackhawks in Chicago on Sunday.
Chi-town.
So, heck of a coming week, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Little homestand, though. That's
little
nice.
Homestand. That's a nice
Canadian homestand.
And plus, you get a little taste of little taste of some Blackhawk action there.
Yeah.
You know?
Where's the I'm stupid?
I don't know.
You,
right there.
Stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
There we go. I think it's about time for a Twitter talk, don't you think?
Let's do it.
Don't you know?
All right, Twitter. All right. So, getting into the Twitter talk. We're having a great night tonight. We're having fun. So why not have some questions from y'all folks? Right?
What are you, Texan? You want the team in Houston? Y'all?
We already had the team in Houston.
Yeah, but Houston's the other team.
Now they're in Iowa.
Iowa?
So, speaking of Iowa.
Iowa.
Crease and Assist has a question for us. Three in the box. The Iowa Wild head coach, Derek Lalonde, said Joel Eriksson-Ek has the makings of an elite second line center. And Crease and Assist is wondering, isn't that kind of an oxymoron? Are the Wild trying to prepare for a Mikko Koivu 2.0? Big money and not enough goals?
You sounded very Cajun in that.
Caucasian?
No, just straight up Cajun.
Not Cajun. Caucasian.
Maybe it was all the Mardi Gras cops we were watching earlier.
Oh. So what do you guys think? Mikko Koivu 2.0?
Well, I mean, second line center, yes, is very much an oxymoron. Or elite second line center is very much an oxymoron. Because if you're elite, you're not going to be second line. You're going to be first line unless you're playing with an elite second line center, which would be the first line center.
Elite squared?
Elite squared?
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
Are the Wild prepping us for a Koivu 2.0? Big money, not enough goals. I wouldn't say that because I think Koivu is kind of a special case where he's a leader, but not necessarily the lead scorer, if that makes sense.
He leaves
the fame for all of his teammates.
we've talked a lot about Mikko and his strengths and his weaknesses, which I think are pretty well documented at this point.
Yep.
What if you think Eriksson Ek is going to be the next coming of Koivu? I don't know that I see it. But that being said, even though I'm not a huge Koivu fan, I don't know that Eriksson Ek is actually as talented as Koivu. I'm not trying to say Ek is not that great. And I'm not saying that Koivu is that great either. Yeah. I think there's a divergence in talent there, and I don't know Ek is quite up to that.
I guess I don't remember back to when Koivu was a rookie either. And what
I mean, he wasn't great when he started, you know.
He's not exceptional.
He's not great. He's not great as he got old either. He's just steady, and that's not a slam.
That's actually a very finished thing.
It is. We're probably overpaying for that. I mean, I think we all agree we probably are overpaying for that.
There's something to be said about.
There is something to be said about
knowing
that.
What you're getting,
right? I mean. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Next question from MN Frosty Boy, Mr. Chris Frost. Getting ahead of the curve, NHL board meetings increase the salary cap next year, $78 million to $82 million. Does Wild dump contracts or go for a big star? You know, my initial take is, who knows? We're so constricted by the cap right now. I'm worried about paying anything unless they're $4 million, and we're just putting ourselves in the same sort of cap experience. But I don't know what kind of talent you're going to get with $4 million. To be honest, at this point,
yeah, that's I wouldn't be looking to push up towards the top of that cap right away.
We need some breathing room.
Exactly. So if, you know, things are working well during a season, we do have the room to make a move and, you know, maybe add that final key piece to make that push. So.
Yeah.
You got nothing?
I basically agree with what both of you said. I mean, like, even you can increase the cap space, but I mean, if you can't find the player out there to fill that cap space, and the thing is it's not just us that are getting the cap space increased. That $4 million player, everybody's going to be looking for that $4 million player. So,
yep, right.
Where do they want to go to? It's I think at that point it's kind of the player's decision. So,
yeah,
I would say if anything, look for maybe a couple of $1.5 million. $1 million players and look for the diamond in the rough.
Well, you're looking for stalls, guys that, you know, are low cost, you know, low risk, high reward.
Yep.
And stalls aren't going to fall into your lap every
day.
They
That's don't show up every day. Nope.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you can't just look at that. I mean, they are looking for the mil to two mil player as they are right now.
Yeah.
That are going to just shine through. Yep. And that you can hope that they fit well with your system. So I think even increasing it by $4 million, you're not going to see a difference on it.
I agree.
So I'm actually a little bummed about this because I have not watched this episode yet. So, Felska?
Right. Thanks for the spoiler.
We're going to talk when you're in town.
Yeah.
At three in the box. Oh,
you were going to talk? Because I wasn't going to use words. I was just going to...
Just strangle him. You know, maybe put a stab him in his head to... Yeah. Which will make more sense if you guys are Walking Dead fans. So, spoiler
alert. Or if we read the question.
Spoiler alert. The Walking Dead revealed Carl had a zombie bite, meaning his death is certain. Has Matt Cullen received his bite by being a healthy scratch against Anaheim?
Okay, I'm going to take offense because they never refer to them as zombies. They're
walkers.
Walkers.
Which is...
That's what old people use.
Which is BS, because, you know, we all know they're zombies, but, like, certain fans will take very, like
it's not a zombie show, it's about walkers.
And no,
it's
like, that's a zombie show.
You know, yeah. I can drive down the road and see a walker show. Yeah. It's at an old folks' home.
Or you can go up to the corner, and you can be a walker. When the walk sign goes on and crosses the street.
I thought you were going to go like down to South Minneapolis, like Phillips neighborhood, and be a walker.
Oh, just start walking across the street?
Like a street walker.
Oh.
Those are hookers.
It's a different kind of walker.
Okay.
Well, Vegas would know more about that.
Yes. What was the question?
Did Colin receive his bite by being a healthy scratch against Anaheim?
No, he just sucked.
Yeah,
he's vampire-ish, not zombie-ish.
Cullen has definitely been having a tough go at it this year. I think he hasn't found his place on this Minnesota Wild team. So, does that mean that he is not valuable to the team? What I can say is that he hasn't caused a lot of grief, as in, like, you know, defensively on the defensive end. Like, you can't say you found him in the, you know, where he was the cause for a goal occurring. But at that same point, you also haven't had a lot of production offensively from him. So, but if you're looking for a solid third or fourth line center with some experience heading into, you know, the playoffs,
I regret not remembering. I'm pretty sure it was on a Pens blog that I was reading, where they were talking about how Cullen is not a fit with this team right now. And I don't know that Cullen's not a fit with his team. I think maybe his time in the league is just done.
Yeah.
He's what, 42?
He's 41. He's 41.
Hey, that's not very old.
Are you out there playing hockey?
No.
I will.
No, he is not.
I will.
But
I will.
Maybe his time in the league is just done. And you know what? It happens even to the best players. Eventually, you're not playing at the same level as everyone else. Nope. You know, it's called nature. We all get old. It all happens, you know? Unless your name's Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah.
I think even he gets old, though, too.
He does get old.
Because we might see him, but we might not when the Flames are in town, right?
He may retire at some point.
This is true. And I think he has actually been scratched a couple times recently, so.
Exactly. I mean, every dog has his day.
Yeah.
And maybe this is Cullen's swan song here, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
no more calling.
Yeah. Jive, next question.
All right. Next question is from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Most people love Christmas cookies. What is your favorite kind of Christmas cookie? And which Christmas cookie best symbolizes the way the Minnesota Wild have been playing in overtime these days?
Okay.
So first of all, that's like two questions.
Okay. First question, favorite cookie. My favorite cookie is...
Are we charging Felska for two questions here?
Okay, let's
We're not charging anybody for questions.
We're not charging anyone. You're getting money out of this? I don't know.
Wait, what?
What podcast are you on?
Wait.
Okay, so best Christmas cookie. My favorite is the... I don't think it's peanut butter, but it's a cookie with the chocolate Hershey's Kiss.
Those are usually peanut butter cookies.
Peanut butter cookie with the Trish's kick,
yeah.
kiss just like smushed down in the
Those
middle.
Those are good.
That's my favorite.
You got a little like sugar on top of there?
A little bit, but yeah. nothing too yeah. crazy. Yep. That's my favorite.
I like this thing. It's called Krum Kraka. It's a almost like a flat waferish type cookie that you roll. So you got like a roll of like this kind of flat cookie. My grandma used to make them all the time, and now my mom actually has her old Polish like iron. So it's kind of crazy. It sits on top of the burner. How you make them?
Mm-hmm.
So you almost put it in like a batter, like you would like making a pancake, and you make them that way. But they're just kind of nice and flaky, and they just kind of, but still moist. Really good.
That sounds tasty. I gotta say that lately, my favorite kind of Christmas cookie is all. You almost can't call it a cookie, but they're either now they. I've had them a couple different ways, either with crushed Oreos in the middle, or with like some peanut butter whipped with, you know, sugar and stuff that makes it nice and good, and then they're covered with chocolate. Like, so I've heard them called Oreo balls or, you know, chocolate balls, whatever.
There's a lot of balls talk coming out of here, out of your mouth here.
There is, but oh my gosh, those are.
So bottom line is, Jive likes the balls right now. At least right now, he hasn't always liked the balls. But right now,
he's liking
the balls.
Are they hanging out?
I think the second part of the question was, what is the wild cookie right now? I'm going to say it's the generic stamped sugar cookie.
But it's not just what's the wilds. It's that symbolizes their overtime play.
Wow, that's really specific.
Yeah. It is.
Okay, I'm going to stay with my answer. It is a sugar cookie, like a generic sugar cookie with the stamped metal shape.
Yeah.
Probably of Minnesota or of a man-bear-pig.
Man-bear-pig, thank you.
With some with generic sugar sprinkles. So it's like oh, it's kind of okay, I guess, maybe.
It's edible.
It's better than a piece of dog poop.
Okay.
Shaped like a man-bear-pig.
All right.
So,
yeah.
I got one. And it kind of goes along with the lines that you got the win, but the other team still got the point. And this one, have you had those, they always get grouped in with cookies, but they're really not a cookie. It's like the Wheaties that have like the green food coloring, gluey.
Oh, you stole mine.
Did I really?
That are made like into the Christmas wreath. Yeah.
Because you have like the green, it's like you got your Wheaties that you're trying, but they're green.
And or then
you
corn have the, flakes, or whatever corn they flakes. Are. Yep.
And then you have the red
dots. Couple of Red Hots.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get the wild colors, but it's not really a cookie. So
I think people didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Oh. And I think people did not like you guys as kids.
No,
I just got one in a cookie platter today.
Okay, people don't like you as adults.
Oh, no. My wife.
Your wife doesn't like you as an adult.
My wife last week, though, just went to a cookie exchange.
Okay, people don't like your wife.
I already knew that. Just kidding. Okay. I love you, sir.
She doesn't listen anyways.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Jive, you know what I'm talking about
yes.
the Reese, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Is Wheaties or... what did you say?
Or cornflakes.
Cornflakes, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like a marshmallowy.
Well, it's basically Rice Krispie bars.
Instead of Rice Krispies, you're using Wheaties cornflakes.
And you put a little food coloring in there to make it.
It sounds terrible. Green.
Oh, they're it's actually good. I think I know somebody else who's having a cookie exchange, so maybe I'll bring them.
Oh, crap. I mean, it is like eating like Rice Krispie bars, but with cornflakes.
It's good.
All right. Enough of the cookie talk. Next question is from Tom Hain, T-Hain88 on Twitter. When, for the love of Gretzky, can we expect an improvement in officiating?
For the love of Gretzky.
I don't... You know, here's the thing. There was a thing with the NFL where the NFL referees were on strike, like, what... 5 or 6 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't remember when it was, and everybody was absolutely complaining up a storm about how bad
the replacement refs. I remember this.
Yeah, yes. The replacement refs. Yep. And how bad the officiating was, and the officials came back. They're like, this is so much better, but
maybe we need an officially efficient strike.
But the thing is, though, is even after they came back, now you still look at it and go, these refs are horrible. I don't think you're ever going to get...
No, because they can't see everything.
They can't. I don't think you're ever going to get like a full-on ref. You literally, right now with the NHL, you have the best of the best referees that are out there.
You know
there.
What you need to do is you need to rethink officiating. Well, why does every official need to have skates on his feet? Can someone not sit in the stands and just
they
go?
They have multiple.
No, can they? But no other league has an official in the stands calling penalties.
It's true.
It'd be pretty damn easy to do that.
Maybe.
But maybe. No, it would be. But it would be very easy.
Let me say this, though.
Well, we got 18,000 at a Wild game.
Well, any NHL game for that matter.
Well, not if you're in, like, Florida.
Well, you got 8,000.
Or Anaheim. Maybe. Is it Anaheim?
Part of the
8,000.
Part of the fun. Part of the fun of watching hockey or almost any other sporting event for that matter, whether it's football, baseball, basketball. I don't care what sport is. You know, you can always either you're on one side or the other. You can contest with the refs, or you can be with the refs because it's going your team's way or it's not going your team's way. In the end of the day, they're humans. But
we've got technology. We can mitigate exactly. It.
So, and that's what that's one of my other points is that, you know, maybe that takes some of the fun out of it. How can we hate on a ref when they get to go back and like immediately correct themselves?
Well, or they're too big headed to correct themselves.
When you're asking
a ref to change his decision that he made,
why not? Or not let him change their decision?
I just disagree with the
call it how we see it.
I disagree with the concept that the best officials always have to be on the field. It seems ludicrous to me. They don't have the best perspective because they're on the field. They've got they don't have the right angle sometimes. I don't see why, and in any sport, this is not just a hockey thing, but any sport.
I think
the three of you guys, you pull one thing, you're out of this game.
All right.
And, you know, I don't see any reason why an official couldn't be in the stands saying, that dude just high-sticked that guy, or at least even be able to be in contact with the on-ice refs so they can call that appropriately.
Bettman is about to have you shot. Because you're going to be, like, raising the rates, like, that he's going to have to charge.
We don't have enough publicity for Bettman to even know about us right now.
Oh, Bettman's going to know.
Well, you know, if...
Bettman will be retweeting us tomorrow morning.
If Gary Bettman is listening, we do have an advertiser's rate. it is quite favorable.
It's reasonable.
And reasonable. And...
Hockey fans are special.
Send us an email. 3inthebox. @gmail.com. Well, let's talk. Let's do some business here. A little give and take.
We got ideas.
We're not Seattle level, so we're not going to be charging nearly as much as Seattle would. You know, we are reasonable.
We're reasonable.
You know, we're just a small outfit. You know, all right. Ramsey County, Minnesota, you know, making things work.
We're on a lake, though.
We're on a lake. We know hockey. You know, and we are special. Like he knows that hockey fans are special. Yeah. We are special.
Yeah,
Aaron, I'm really believing the special thing right now. Like,
wait, I think we've got Bettman calling in.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Oh well, with that, Jay Bushy 19 asks us. Where's the question? There's a lot of ats. Murphy seems to be doing well so far in 6 games here. Requires waivers. If Murphy continues to play good, does Riley or Olofsson become the odd man out and sent back to Iowa?
I think after last night, Olofsson is down.
Yeah, he's on his
way. He looked brutal last night.
Yes, he did. A couple penalties.
Riley was scratched, so, you know, Riley had the advantage of not being on the ice.
But Riley hasn't been as big of a...
detriment.
Yeah.
You know,
Olofsson, I think, has kind of made his bed right now, and I think he's going to be going back on the Iowa for a while.
And it's not to say that Olofsson, I don't think, is a long term solution. It's just that he just needs to figure things out. He
needs to work a little bit. Yep.
All right.
So, all right. Next question coming in from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Wes Walls told FSN.
Oh, wait. I was supposed to start laughing right now.
How long did it take to him to explain the FSN?
Let me tell you,
we're going to get on Wes Walls' hate list now. We're going to get blocked by him on Twitter.
He's probably not listening either.
But if you are, we do advertise, and our rates are reasonable.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
So, Wes Walls told FSN that he likes to explain things. Was that kind of the understatement of 2017 in regards to anything having to do with the Minnesota Wild hockey, or is there something else?
I think your commentary during the question pretty much answered this question.
Well, you know, compare him to Greenlay, who is a master wordsmith, a poet laureate.
How many people are we trying to piss off during this episode?
Tell me that's not what you're thinking, though. give me Walls over explaining things over
someone's leg going, I was hitting the head with the puck once.
Or twice, or was it three times? I don't remember.
That was just that one game. Like, I mean, you know, sometimes you got to just stop them with your head.
Sometimes.
Okay.
All right. Next question from Teresa.
So, yes, that was the most preposterous one.
Next question from Teresa Ferris at MNSoda24. Who in the Wild is the Grinch who would steal all the best Christmas cookies? Or Bruce's Häagen-Dazs.
Ooh.
Okay. So who would steal the best Christmas cookies or the Häagen-Dazs?
Chris Stewart.
No.
No,
he's not a Grinch, but he would steal Bruce Boudreau's Häagen-Dazs, I'm sure.
They do have a past. So if you're going to go with that angle, I could see that.
I'm just seeing him as like the jokester, practical, you know.
I mean,
he wouldn't be like a mean Grinch type stealing his Häagen-Dazs, but
it's a good nature.
Like I could see him, you know, sneaking the coach's ice cream out as a joke.
Honestly, I could see Koivu just nonchalantly going and grabbing it and just with a stoic face going, oh, this was yours?
I'm thinking Zucker.
Zucker, really?
Yeah.
Well, you think
he's a greasy little fucker,
He's a golden boy. He's a golden boy. He can get away with that stuff where people
he's not a golden knight.
No.
No. But he's not golden shower either. No.
So then we'd have Boudreau going, ah, mother Zucker.
Bum, 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 bum. End of show.
End of
freeze
show.
Frame.
Freeze frame. Mother Zucker.
Freeze frame. That's another 80s song, isn't it? Freeze frame.
Oh, we're going back in the eras now. We went started in the 90s. Yep. We're working our way back to the 80s.
Yeah,
here.
Why not?
All right. Tom H. Minor at Tom H. Minor asks us, when, for the love of Gretzky, can we... Who's our editor on this?
Sorry, who edited that stuff? Take the next one, Kenny.
So, at TySands42 asks us, what is the best move Fletcher has made in the past 2 years, and why? Damn, it feels good to get back in the game. First of all, reading that, I almost want to say, damn, it feels good to be a gangsta. I don't know why that just popped up, but...
Damn, it feels good to be Fletcher.
Damn, it feels good to be a Fletcher. The best move he's made.
What moves has he made? in the last 2 years?
Stahl?
You brought Prosser back?
Stahl in the last two years?
I gotta say Stahl is a pretty solid.
Yeah, Stahl's a pretty easy choice.
I'm gonna go with Stahl.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So next question.
Last question.
I don't know why I get to read this one now, guys.
Well, because you screwed up the order and you that's why you get to read the last one.
Three in the box. Oh, let me mention, this comes from our friend, Kenny calls him the Kiwi.
He is a Kiwi.
He's a Kiwi.
I thought it was an Aussie.
Or maybe an Aussie or an Assie.
Hey,
put another shrimp on the Bobby. Oh, wait.
You guys work with him at the same place. I don't, so.
I'm sure I'll get a nasty IM from him tomorrow morning.
I hope so.
All right, so Minnesota Frosty Boy, Chris Frost.
Love you, Chris.
Writes in, three in the box. I've been balls deep.
Is that your Kiwi accent? That was pathetic, dude. That was
horrible. Remember, I'm struggling with my voice this week. I'm a little.
This goes down in history. So. Jive doing a Kiwi accent. Continue. I'm sorry.
In the Kiwi accent.
Yes. Three in the box.
Nope. It has to be a Kiwi accent the entire time.
It's not believable if you don't do it.
You went down this rabbit hole.
All right. I've been balls. I've been balls.
That's what she said.
Okay, I'm reading it normal though.
No.
Yes. Otherwise, you're reading it.
I've been balls deep.
Nope.
I've been balls.
You can't read it normal. All right. Frosty asks us. I've been balls deep in FINRA Series 24 study. Have I missed anything, or should I still be nurturing my hatred for GMCF? And then there's a arrows pointing down, read below.
That wasn't included. I was pointing to that.
Wow.
What?
FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority in Series 24, General Securities Principal Registration. The more you know, hashtag work shit, hashtag call me the regulator, hashtag I need to listen to Clutch. Hashtag free ITP.
Lots of finance stuff going on in the FINRA.
But that was only in case Jive Midnight reads this.
Yeah, well.
You forgot that.
But he didn't even do it in an accent. God damn it.
Ironically, Jive Midnight was in charge of the Twitter questions this week.
Hey.
So it worked out really well.
I did great.
So have you missed anything? You missed some boring hockey. You missed some overtime. You missed Gabrick scoring two
goals. You missed some collapses. You missed some comebacks.
Actually, if you listen to the beginning of the podcast, you'll basically be caught up on what happened.
So you still think you should be hating Chuck Fletch?
Oh, yeah.
Fletch. I think Fletch is what if Fletch does what Fletch will do.
Fletch lives.
Every time I hear
Fletch lives.
Every time I hear Fletch, all I can picture is Chevy Chase.
All right, I think we've got a show here.
Done, man.
Put a fork in it.
Fork in us. Jeez.
That's a Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
A lot of stuff at Nostrakenius on Twitter and Instagram, and then some other various stuff on Twitter. You know, if you can actually figure out my real stuff, you can find me on Facebook, too, and I'll probably friend you.
The Book of Faces.
The Book of Faces.
All right, Jive, what about yourself?
You can find me.
You can find you. Well, that's a good thing, because otherwise I don't know what we'd be doing.
Half the time we can't find them.
I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. We will read them, obviously, and we'll probably slaughter them.
Try not to do it with an accent.
We'll try not to do it with an accent. Unless you tell us where you're from, Zimbabwe or something. We'll give it a shot, you know, because why not?
Or Germany,
is that your German accent?
I have no idea.
Who knows? Tell us you're from somewhere, because we'll give it a shot.
Or just make something up.
Make something up.
We have your accent. We're coming to America.
We got an accent, man.
We got all the accents. All the accents, yes, we got.
Is that accents or oxen?
Oxens.
Oxen?
Oxens.
Oxen?
It's like the buffalo of oxens.
Oxens of oxen.
Oxens of buffalo.
Oh, they don't want to hear our accents anymore.
We got to go, guys.
All right.
We're done.
Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you later.
Hit it.